Good morning. You know, when we were getting ready this morning, I'm sure people took time to look in the mirror and well, maybe not me, to make sure every hair was in place, you know, right? But we look in the mirror to make sure that we look nice and when we go out in public and so forth. And although I see a few people out in public periodically that I wonder if they even own a mirror, especially at school. I'm thinking, did you purposefully go out looking like that? Did you plan that look? But we look in a mirror, and we're going to look at that today. That was our scripture reading this morning. And we're going to talk about looking in the mirror. There's a difference between looking and making sure that our hair is done right, that the clothes that we picked out match and so forth. There's a difference in that and looking in the mirror at yourself. Really looking at yourself. It's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to see the flaws in yourself. I know I can sure see flaws in other people. Seems like sometimes I got a telescope, I can see the flaws from far off in everybody else. Sometimes I can, it's like I'm even looking in a microscope, I can see the flaws in them. But looking in that mirror, that is sometimes a little harder to do, and sometimes we don't see what it is that we're looking at. Sometimes we don't want to see what we're looking at. Our scripture reading this morning, Russell read from James, the first chapter, and to reread verse 23 and 24, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. We were all sinners at one time. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. In Romans 12, verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's one of the problems that mankind has, is thinking more of himself than they should. And that sometimes alters the way we look in the mirror, is the way we look at ourselves and the way we think about ourselves. I would like for us to look at a few people in the Bible that sometimes did this and how they reacted to it. One was David. I always like to think of David, my favorite account of David, is him and Goliath. I love that. And I'm sure as an old man, looking back at his life, the account of himself and Goliath might have been one of his favorites. That's a great story. That's a great story to remember, to tell your kids and your grandkids about how a young man goes out and whips a giant warrior. You know, there were some other things that David was involved in that isn't always remember or pleasant to look at if you're thinking about yourself or looking at yourself in a mirror. As king, David had it all. He had riches. He had wealth. He had pleasures all around him. And one day, he noticed a woman bathing. He lusted, and he committed sin. If that's not bad enough, he committed sin to cover up his sin. He'd committed sin with the wife of a loyal officer in his army, Uriah. He wound up having Uriah sent to the front lines to be killed and to try to cover all this up. King David, who had everything at his fingertips, committed sin by taking another man's wife. In 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, we see an account where he is forced to look in a mirror. 2 Samuel 12, starting in verse 1, says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." And it goes on to say in verse 5, "So David's anger was greatly aroused against that man." David had heard this story from Nathan, and he was angry that a man would do that. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." David couldn't believe and was outraged that a man would do something like that. A rich man that had everything. And because he didn't want to give up anything, he would take the only lamb from somebody else. Verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. You are the man.'" He told him this story, and David opened his eyes to it. "You are that man." And in verse 13, we see why David was a man of after God's own heart. It hurt him that when he realized he could have taken different routes. He could have blown it off and start justifying. Have you ever heard of somebody justifying their sin? "Well, I did it because of this, because of that." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He owned it. He faced it and he owned it. Another one is Paul, the great apostle Paul. We know that Paul had been a Pharisee. He was very zealous in his life, in everything he did. I always think of Paul, the great missionary. Well, he put those efforts into hurting the church long before he was ever a Christian. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 15, Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful." He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." When Paul looked in the mirror, he never forgot. "I used to persecute the church." And he never forgot that. "I am the chief." When I think of Paul, when I look at Paul, I think of the great missionary. I think of the great teacher and preacher that took the gospel to throughout the Mediterranean world. And even doing it in chains, in prison. Paul remembers, "I was a sinner, and I am the chief of the sinners." In Galatians 1:13 he says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." That's how bad I was. In Acts 22, he says, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished." In Philippians, he says, and we see the nature of Paul. He did all that, became a Christian, and we see true repentance. He says, "Brethren," this is years later, "I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press forward. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Forgetting those things. Not forgetting in the sense ignorant that I didn't do them. But I'm not going to be bound by those. I'm not going to let it hamper me, and I'm pressing on. We have the Apostle Peter, one of my favorite heroes in the Bible. We've had studies on him. I love looking at him because I see so much humanity in Peter. Paul is hard for me to look at because I just see somebody that it's almost impossible for me to attain what Paul did. Peter, I see a lot of myself, at least the knuckleheadedness in Peter of his earlier life. And I think if there's hope for Peter, there might be hope for me. The night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter was one of his closest friends. He'd known him for 3 years, traveled with him, sat at his feet, and listened. We know how impetuous he was. And at the Jesus' Last Supper, Jesus is telling them, "One of you is going to betray me tonight." Peter speaks up, "Not me. It's sure not going to be me. Might be one of these others, and you better not be doing that, but it ain't going to be me." And he tells him, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times tonight." "I will die with you, Jesus. It ain't going to be me." And we see this. After Peter had denied him 3 times, it says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Talk about looking in the mirror and seeing yourself the way you were. That was tough. He went out and wept bitterly. Man, just hours ago, I was saying, I'll die with you, Jesus. Don't you know? Have you ever had a look from somebody that just kind of bored into your soul? Got those the death ray looks. Not that Jesus gave Peter death rays, but a look that really got to your heart. When the cock crows, and from afar, Jesus turns and sees Peter. It killed him. I did it. You said I was going to do it. I said I wouldn't, and I still did it. And it hurt him. And he went out and wept bitterly. It bothered Judas when he betrayed. The difference, a big difference between Judas and Peter does something about it. It bothered Judas. But he went and hung himself. Peter repents and uses that like Paul did. Never forgot what he had done, and he lived the rest of his life trying to be better, trying to atone and rectify the situation and be reconciled to God and Jesus. In Acts, the 5th chapter, the situation is Peter, after the day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles, they were preaching to everybody. They were told explicitly by the powers that be, you don't preach like this. You're stirring up too much trouble. And verse 27 says, and when they had brought them, they had set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. You're stirring up a lot of trouble here. You're filling, well, shows you the power of the gospel, one. That's a whole separate lesson. Show you the power of the gospel that these people were preaching God's word and it was stirring up, it was filling up Jerusalem with this doctrine. They're also saying, and you're intending to bring this man's blood on us. I find it so interesting. These very same people in Matthew 27 are saying, let his blood be on us. And now just a short time later, you know, don't be bringing his blood on us. You're trying to make us responsible for this. And Peter responded, and the other apostles, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In the face of danger themselves, in the face of consequences themselves, when that cock crowed and Jesus looked at Peter, it was a changing point in his life. He's not going to do it again. We ought to obey God rather than men. And you look in Acts, you look in 1st and 2nd Peter, the man that Peter had become, it's amazing. In 1 Peter 5:1, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder. Peter would go on to be an elder. The high, godly, noble qualifications of an elder, Peter will become. There was a period in his life he wasn't elder material. He will become that. In 2 Peter starting in verse 5, he says, but for this very reason. Now keep this in mind. The man that's writing this, this is that impetuous man that Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. This is the same man that said, Peter, you're going to deny me before the morning. Not me. This is the man that draws the sword to fight in the garden and has to be told by Jesus, put the sword away. You're missing the point. This is the same man. And listen to the maturity in this man's writings years later. And for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Think Peter's remembering anything right now? To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. So short-sighted that you probably can't even look in a mirror and properly see what the reflection is. Even to blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Peter was able to see in the mirror later on. He was the same old Peter, but he had better vision later on. He could look in that mirror. Paul never changed the kind of person he was. He was zealous in his persecuting the church. And he was zealous in preaching the Word of God. But he could see, and it's sometimes hard to look in the mirror and see those flaws. But to see those flaws and to know you want to go on and get beyond that. That's the key. When we look in the mirror, Romans 3:23, Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not those people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not that person, not this person, for all have sinned. There was a point in our lives, if we're Christians, that we looked in the mirror and we realized that. That we had sin in our lives. And the consequences of sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's looking in the mirror to realize we had sin in our lives. In Acts 2:37 and 38, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached a wonderful, convicting gospel sermon to a huge multitude of people. And it convicted them. He opened their eyes and they were able to look in the mirror and it bothered them. And they cried out in verse 37. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're looking in the mirror and they realize we have sin. We were responsible for this man Jesus, his death. Then Peter said to them, repent. Repent and be baptized, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Don't do like Judas did, saw his sin, and didn't do anything about it. Went and killed himself. He was sorry for what he had done. But he didn't do anything about it. Peter saw his sin, did something about it. Paul saw his sin, did something about it. These people, that day 3,000 were saved. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see sin? Do you see shame, regret, guilt, envy, strife, pride, that arrogant pride that hamstrings us so many times, anger? If you see these things in the mirror, like Peter, like Paul, do something about it. Don't just be sad. Or worse than that, even deny that it's there. If you're not a Christian, you have sin in your life. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you have sin. The great thing, whatever we're seeing in the mirror negative, can be remedied. If you're not a Christian, you can put your Lord on in baptism. You can repent of sins. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can believe in God. You can confess that belief before men. Repent of those sins. Don't just keep living day by day in them. Like Jesus says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And be baptized. Those of us that are baptized, if we've got sin in our life, repent. Whatever your need, this is a perfect time. The clock says right now, it's the perfect time to respond to the invitation. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Steve leads us in the song. Let us stand.